leader!
Order, order.
After the Prime Minister, John Key, opposition leader Andrew Little, and assorted ministers and MPs flocked to stand beside Richie McCaw and mingle with the newly minted All Blacks Rugby World Cup squad in the Beehive on Sunday night, the House of Representatives next door remained deserted all week, as Mr. Key's national-led minority government again failed to take advantage of an adjournment to put any of Parliament's select committees to work. So, with nothing to report, we'll be taking a look at the most accessible part of the parliamentary week, question time, with which the House begins its normal sitting day at 2 p.m. Comprising a dozen questions for ministers, allotted and ordered according to a formula based on each party's numbers in the chamber, they are the opposition's chief tool in their task of opening up the government of the day to public scrutiny. That's the theory, which, as the current Speaker, National's David Carter, observed recently, is itself open to debate.
This is question time. The principal purpose is to hold the government to account, but inevitably there will be political debate around questions and answers. That's happened for as long as I've been in this House.
Mr. Carter has been in the House for just over 21 years, coming in August 1994 to fill the vacancy in the Selwyn electorate created by the resignation of National's Finance Minister Ruth Richardson. He's held ministerial portfolios since 1998, most recently as the Minister for Primary Industries in the second term of this national administration. Elected Speaker in January 2013, he took over the chair after being a minister in government answering questions, in contrast to his predecessor Lockwood Smith, who came off 9 years on the opposition benches asking them. This could explain a difference in their approach to interpretation of the basic rule, Standing Order 386, which stipulates that an answer that seeks to address the question asked must be given if it can be given consistently with the public interest. The key words there are seek, answer and address. And although it's a rough measure, Lockwood Smith put more emphasis on seek to answer, while David Carter is more likely to accept seek to address. His interpretation is constantly put to the test as opposition MPs try to hold to account government ministers who, whatever their party, are naturally averse to it. In this Parliament, that's best illustrated by the weekly tussles between Labour's Deputy Leader, Annette King, and the Minister of Health, Jonathan Coleman. For instance, on the Thursday before the adjournment, Mrs. King put this question to the Minister.
Speaker, my question's to the Minister of Health. If government health expenditure has not kept up with all inflationary pressures, as he admitted on the 29th of July, what impact has this shortfall had on patients?
That elicited this answer from Jonathan Coleman.
Mr. Speaker, the central premise of the member's question is wrong. Inflation is currently 0.3%. Cost pressure funding for 2015-16 for health is around 0.6%. Extra investment of over $4 billion under this government is delivering free GP visits for under-13s, 50,000 more operations, 60,000 more first specialist assessments, and 5,500 more doctors and nurses. It's only a national government that can both handle the country's finances and deliver more services.
Mrs. King, Labour's health minister for 6 years to 2005, then tried to expose flaws in that answer with supplementary questions, all of which got nowhere against Jonathan Coleman's determination to hold her to account.
No, Mr. Speaker, that's totally incorrect. The member's having flashbacks to her own tenure. What she knows is that 95% of patients are in and out of our EDs within 6 hours. The service is much, much better than it was a whole decade ago, back when Mrs. King was the minister. And I'm very pleased to see that Mrs. King's views on the health system have changed substantially over time, because back in 2002, she said, New Zealand's not rich enough to have the kind of health system found in Australia. This is all scaremongering and rumour. The member gives no details. The only facts we know is she doubled the budget, delivered 7,500 fewer appointments and 2,000 fewer operations. As I said in the Dawn Post in September 2005, how can a minister spend so much money yet make the system worse? And that was Annette King. No record to stand on, I'm afraid.
The Honourable Dr. Jonathan Coleman.
Mr. Speaker, the only fact in all this is that Mrs. King doubled the budget twice and actually delivered 7,500 fewer appointments, 2,000 fewer operations. All the rest is Mrs. King making it up. You'll notice Mrs. King gives no names, no dates, no hospital. I don't think you could possibly believe that. I think it's probably fiction.
Health Minister Jonathan Coleman turning the tables on his Labor shadow, Annette King, trying to hold her to account for her record in his job more than 10 years ago. Another source of aggravation for the opposition in recent weeks has involved their desire to question the Prime Minister. Rhys Lyon reports.
2 weeks back, on the 19th of August, opposition leader Andrew Little sought to ask the Prime Minister if he stood by his statement that he'd hate to see New Zealanders as tenants in their own country, and if so, how many applications by overseas investors to buy land were declined under the Overseas Investment Act 2005 between January 2012 and June 2015. But that question had been transferred from the Prime Minister to an Associate Minister of Finance, something Mr. Little took up with the Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, this question was originally set down for the Prime Minister, and I therefore seek leave of the House to have the question transferred back to the Prime Minister.
The Speaker ruled that the government was entitled to transfer questions around its ministers.
I refer the member to Speaker's ruling 1695. I'm not prepared to put the leave. It is a prerogative of the government to decide where the leave has gone, where the question's gone to. They've made that decision. If the member wants to continue asking it, as it's on the order paper, he can do so.
That ruling says that the matter of transfer is over to the government, and the Speaker will not put leave to transfer the question back because the government has already made its decision. But opposition whip Chris Hipkins said he had anticipated the Speaker's stance.
And went back and reviewed all of the Hansard from the last term of Parliament where the then Leader of the Opposition, John Key, was putting down questions to the then Prime Minister, Helen Clark, and could find no examples where the Prime Minister transferred a question from the Leader of the Opposition. And therefore, I ask that the House give consideration to whether that ruling that you referred to should actually apply in this circumstance, because there has to be an ability for the opposition to question the Prime Minister on a range of issues. The Prime Minister ultimately is responsible for all issues around the government's policy.
The Speaker suggested that the question could be rephrased.
When I look at the wording of this particular question, it is very much about the workings of the Overseas Investment Office, and therefore I see no difficulty at all with the fact that it's been transferred. I don't think in any way it will lessen the quality of the answer. The answer therefore lies in the future if the member, the Leader of the Opposition, wants to target a question to the Prime Minister, then he needs to change the wording and in this case not refer so much to the portfolio of Overseas Investment Office.
After a series of further points of order from both sides of the House, the Speaker gave Andrew Little an ultimatum.
If the Leader of the Opposition wants to proceed with the question, he can do so. If he does not want to proceed with the question, then we'll move immediately to question number four. It's in the hands of the Leader of the Opposition.
Raising his hands in surrender, Mr. Little signalled he'd not be asking the question. The following week, the transfer of questions was raised again, this time by Labor's Shadow Leader of the House, Grant Robertson.
It has two parts to the point of order I'm raising. This question was set down to the Prime Minister and asked him to whether he stood by a statement. That statement was made in this House. There's no dispute that the statement was made. It was in Hansard.
Order, can I just have the point of order?
The point of order, Mr. Speaker, is that I believe the transfer of the question undermines the integrity of question time. I do not understand how the opposition can hold the Prime Minister to account when direct quotes that he has given in this House are transferred. If you will indulge me, Mr. Speaker, the second part of my point of order is that the option that then gives the opposition is to simply ask the Prime Minister, does he stand by all his statements? That is a ridiculous situation because that question wouldn't be transferred. We then lose valuable supplementary questions and the opportunity is opened up for the Minister answering to say they don't have the material available to them. I think this kind of transfer undermines the integrity of question time.
However, the Speaker, David Carter, did not sympathise with Mr. Robertson's view.
I don't agree with the member. If I felt for 1 minute that it did, in transferring, undermine the integrity of question time and effectively it was an anathema to the justice of the question time system, then I would not allow the transfer. I think there are, in regards to the second point made by Grant Robertson, there are ways that this question could have been worded in such a way that it couldn't have been transferred, and that includes ways that are more general than just does the Prime Minister stand by a statement. I suggest that if he wants advice on the wording of that, he takes some advice from perhaps the clerk, the office of the clerk, to help him in further wording questions so that it is more difficult for the transfer to occur. But in this case, the transfer is the right of the government, provided it doesn't in any way mean the shifting of responsibility doesn't get a fair chance to answer. The question, in essence, is around KiwiSaver. That responsibility is in the hands of the Minister of Finance, and I think the question can proceed if the member wishes to continue.
Mr. Robertson then sought some clarification from the Speaker.
How is it not anathema to...
Order. Now the member is questioning a ruling I've just given. That is unacceptable. I've made a ruling. The member can shake his head and say that he doesn't agree with it. I think there's frequent opportunities for members to disagree with rulings that they make, that I make in this House, but at the end of the day, they must accept them.
With that, Mr. Robertson tried another tack.
A fresh point of order,
yes.
Grant Robertson.
Mr. Speaker, I seek leave of the House for this question to be transferred back to the Prime Minister.
Order. I invite the member to look at Speaker's ruling 1695. I'm not putting that leave.
The Speaker, David Carter.
There are times when ministers do want to be held to account, and they arrange for their own backbenchers to ask them questions, called patsies. Here, for instance, is a question for the Minister for Small Business, Craig Foss, from the National Member for Taranaki King Country, Barbara Couriger.
Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister for Small Business and asks, how are small businesses benefiting from the Better for Business Result 9 program?
Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Craig Foss.
Mr. Speaker, this week the government introduced the New Zealand Business Number Bill, a key part of the Better for Business Result 9 program.
But that wasn't all.
To the Minister, how else are small and medium businesses benefiting from Better for Business Results 9 program?
Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Craig Foss.
Through the website business.gov.nz, small and medium businesses are able to access government-related advice.
What other tools are available through business.govt.nz to support small and medium businesses?
Honourable Craig Foss.
Mr. Speaker, through business.gov.nz, small and medium businesses can... A. Would you like me to start again, Mr. Speaker?
No, I certainly would not like you to start again. I'd be very grateful if you'd finish the answer quickly.
Mr. Speaker... Small and medium businesses are benefiting.
And now patsy questions have spread to the opposition benches, with MPs taking advantage of the right to ask questions of other members who chair committees or sponsor members' bills to draw attention to their bills once they're on the order paper. A new practice which last week drew this caution from Mr. Carter.
That in my mind, when we're seeing a number of times for these questions to be asked, which are simply a means of promoting a member's bill, I think we are in danger of standing orders reconsidering the value of such questions.
The Speaker, David Carter. And finally, a preview of the week ahead with the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 8th of September, the Government intends to progress a number of bills on the order paper, including the Taxation, Land Information, Offshore Persons Information Bill and the Passports Amendment Bill No. 3.
And as the committees return to work next week, there's bound to be a queue outside Room 2 in Bowen House when the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee is briefed on the current situation for refugees. And that's between 10 and 11 on Thursday morning. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.